I want you to picture something truly random in your mind right now. It could be the flip of a coin, the chaotic static on an old television set, or maybe what mathematicians lovingly refer to as a drunkard's walk.
Right, a person taking random steps left or right without any predictable pattern.
Exactly. And for a very long time, the mathematical world thought they had this concept of randomness completely figured out. They believed that no matter how complex a random system was, it could always be broken down into a few basic, predictable building blocks.
That was the foundational assumption, yeah.
But what if I told you that there is actually a bizarre, completely non-intuitive universe of randomness out there? A universe that entirely breaks all the classical rules we thought we understood.
It's a massive shift. The classical wisdom, you know, the rules of probability that have guided scientific modeling for decades, essentially taught us that complex random processes boil down to two main phenomena.
Right, the smooth stuff and the jumpy stuff.
Basically, yes. First, you have continuous white noise, which you can visualize as smooth, uninterrupted random movement, like a particle of dust jiggling in a glass of water.
Brownian motion, right?
Exactly, there. Brownian motion. And second, you have jumping processes known as Poisson point processes, which are sudden, discrete, random events. For a century, the assumption was that every random system in the universe was just some combination of those two continuous and discrete elements.
Okay, let's unpack this, because today's deep dive is taking us straight into the heart of a major mathematical rebellion.
It really is a rebellion.
We are exploring a dense, groundbreaking 2004 paper by mathematician Boris Cyrulson. It's titled Non-Classical Stochastic Flows and Continuous Products. And our mission today is to uncover how randomness is actually far more diverse, far more sensitive, honestly far stranger than traditional mathematics ever suggested.
We're going to be looking at some deeply counterintuitive concepts.
Yeah, we are going to be exploring some incredibly mind-bending concepts from this text. Things like splitting, stickiness, and something ominously called black noise.
I love that term, black noise. Cyrulson's paper demonstrates that the classical view is merely the surface of a much deeper ocean. He proves that when you look closely at certain random processes, especially those containing singularities.
Points where the mathematical behavior becomes undefined or infinite, right?
Right, exactly. When you look at those singularities, they do not behave like standard white noise or Poisson jumps at all. They belong to an entirely different non-classical category that defies our standard intuitions about cause, effect, and time.
To understand this paradigm shift, we first need to look at the idea of processes with independent values.
Which classical theory treated in a very restricted way for a long time.
Yeah, usually assuming they belong to simple linear spaces. But hints that something else was going on started showing up in other fields, particularly in percolation theory.
Percolation theory provided a massive conceptual clue. In 2001, a mathematician named Stanislav Smirnov made a spectacular achievement regarding critical site percolation on a triangular lattice.
So imagine a vast two-dimensional grid of triangles where each vertex is randomly assigned a color, say black or white.
Yes, essentially a massive two-dimensional array of random signs. Now, if you zoom out to a macroscopic scale, standard probability theory suggests that the scaling limit of this grid would just be driven by standard white noise over a plane.
Like the microscopic randomness should just smooth out into a predictable classical blur.
But it doesn't.
Doesn't at all. The scaling limit is not driven by standard white noise.
Mm.
The percolation model uses those random signs in a completely non-classical way, preserving a bizarre kind of mathematical tension even when you zoom out to infinity.
And this brings us to the first major concept we need to visualize.
The illusion of stability.
Yes.
Cyrulson uses a discrete toy model to explain a paradox that completely shatters classical expectations. It's called the Ziemflo paradox.
This is a great thought experiment.
I want you to imagine a random walk. But instead of moving back and forth on a straight line, you are moving on a cyclic group. Visually, picture a clock face. You are moving a token around this circular clock face. And your individual steps, clockwise or counterclockwise, are determined entirely by random coin flips.
The group is mathematically denoted as Zem, meaning there are M distinct points on this circle. We observe this random walk up to a certain finite stopping instant, which we can call N.
So we are tracking the cumulative result of all those random directional choices around the circle.
Right. And in the classical world, your final position on that clock face is simply the sum of all your steps. Every single coin flip contributes to where you end up.
Makes total sense.
But in this non-classical model, we examine the mathematical limit as that stopping point, N, approaches infinity. We look at the ultimate outcome of an infinitely long sequence of steps.
And here is the mathematical magic trick Cyrilson reveals. The final position at infinity ends up being completely, totally independent of the entire finite time part of the process.
It's totally detached.
The outcome, where the token finally ends up, isn't actually a function of the sequence of the steps you took to get there. It's wild.
What's fascinating here is how this redefines our understanding of cause and effect in random systems. To really contextualize why this is so disruptive, we have to look back to 1999, when computer scientists Benjamini, Kalai, and Schramm were deeply studying Boolean functions.
Oh, right. They were analyzing vast arrays of variables that could only be true or false, 0 or 1.
Exactly. And through their work, they mathematically defined two contrasting properties for these massive systems, stability and sensitivity.
And classical models are built on the foundation of stability. If you have a massive system of variables and you introduce a microscopic error.
Say you slip just one single Boolean variable out of a million from a 0 to a 1.
Right. A stable system absorbs that perturbation. The final macro-level outcome of a whole system barely registers the change.
Cyrilson, however, forces us to look at systems where that error does not decay. Non-classical models, like our random walk on the clock face, are defined by extreme sensitivity.
Meaning what, exactly?
In a mathematically sensitive system, a microscopic error, the absolute tiniest perturbation in the sequence of your steps, drastically and dramatically alters the final outcome at infinity.
It is a universe where the smallest imaginable change cascades infinitely, completely rewriting the final state.
Yes.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because Cyrilson doesn't just stop at time-based paradoxes. He transitions this idea of non-classical randomness into physical space.
Introducing the concept of spatial singularities.
To grasp this, I want you to picture two particles moving randomly in a fluid flow. In a classical coalescing flow, these two particles are wandering around, and eventually their paths cross.
They hit a boundary, merge together into a single point, and never separate again.
They become one single entity for the rest of time.
And that standard coalescing Brownian motion is very well understood. But Cyrilson introduces us to a non-classical variant of this, formalized by a mathematician named John Warren. It is known as Warren's noise of splitting.
Okay, picture those same two particles. They merge, just like before. But in Warren's noise of splitting, they don't remain quietly merged.
Yeah.
Every single time, this merged particle starts a new excursion away from the origin.
Every time it hits a local minimum and bounces back,
it picks a completely new sign, a new direction. To really understand this, we need to define a term from the text, the spider martingale.
A great visual.
First, a martingale in probability theory is essentially a model of a completely fair game. If you are at the origin, your expected future position is always the origin. There's no bias pulling you in a specific direction.
Now, apply that to a spider geometry.
Right. Imagine this happening on a complex plane with three or more rays spreading out from the center, exactly like the legs of a spider. The particles coalesce at the center, but every time they move out again, they randomly pick one of those spider legs to travel down.
You might intuitively assume that those random directional choices, those coin flips deciding which leg the particle travels down, are sudden, spontaneous jumps.
Like an observer watching the system would see a particle hit the center and instantly dart down a new path.
Exactly. Looking exactly like the classical Poisson point processes we mentioned earlier, the illusion is that these choices appear entirely out of nowhere.
But Cyrilson points out that they aren't sudden at all.
Not at all.
The underlying math shows that these apparent coin flips are deeply woven into the local minima of the continuous Brownian path itself.
The choices only appear spontaneous if you are observing the system point by point. If you possess the entire geometric shape of the flow, those directional shifts are fundamentally tied to the continuous geometry.
It completely shatters the illusion of suddenness.
The discrete jump is actually just a complex manifestation of a continuous underlying structure.
And Warren doesn't just give us the noise of splitting. He also introduces stickiness.
Stickiness is fascinating.
Imagine a sticky Brownian motion. You have particles moving around randomly, and they hit the origin. Instead of bouncing off immediately or merging permanently, they get stuck. They spend a positive amount of time trapped at the origin.
But here is the bizarre mathematical catch that makes it non-classical. They never spend a solid, continuous block of time there.
The time spent at the origin is infinitely fractured. It is not a single, unbroken interval.
To visualize how this infinitely fractured time operates, the text offers a vivid conceptual analogy, the Poisson snake.
A mathematical object that grows and retracts based on the movements of a Brownian path.
Since a changing mathematical ray can be tough to picture, let's think of the Poisson snake like a retracting tape measure.
Okay, I like that. Imagine you have a metal tape measure pulled out, and printed on the tape are a series of fixed markings or spots. But the tape measure itself is constantly randomly extending and retracting based on a continuous random flow.
When the tape retracts, moving backward in time, those markings get swallowed into the metal casing and disappear. You can watch them vanish one by one as the boundary moves back.
However, when the tape pulls forward, extending outward, new markings appear out of the casing. But they do not appear at a steady, measurable pace.
They appear at a rate that is mathematically infinite in time, yet finite in space. You have an overwhelming, uncountably infinite density of creation happening at the very edge of that moving boundary.
That implies a staggering level of chaos right at the origin point. We can easily predict the markings disappearing into the casing, but we cannot predict when a new one will be born.
And this brings us to the crucial insight of stickiness. It is fundamentally time asymmetric.
Meaning it works differently forward versus backward.
Exactly. The behavior of the noise changes completely depending on which direction the clock is ticking. If you are moving forward in time and you know the entire future of the path, the noise is technically predictable. You know exactly when a new marking will emerge.
But if you only know the past, which is how we experience reality, you cannot predict when a spot will appear.
Time reversing the mathematical noise completely destroys its predictability. It's like how we often know the date of death of a great man, but not the date of his birth.
Wow, that is a perfect way to put it. The end of the journey is completely fixed and documented. But looking backward, taking that endpoint and trying to determine the exact moment of origin in the noise is nearly impossible.
The origin's lost, even though the endpoint is perfectly clear.
So we've looked at singularities at a single origin point, like particles getting stuck or splitting at zero. But what happens if we turn the dial all the way up?
Oh, it gets even wilder.
What happens when the singularity isn't just at a single location, but is distributed literally everywhere across space?
That scales the mathematics into the realm of black noise. The text introduces this by referencing Oratia's flow from 1979, which is also known mathematically as the Brownian web.
In this model, you don't just have two particles coalescing. You have an infinite number of coalescing Brownian motions.
And they are starting from every single coordinate in space simultaneously.
When you have singularities distributed continuously everywhere, you generate black noise, a concept deeply explored by mathematicians Legendre and Raymond.
To really grasp why this is so weird, we have to talk about how mathematicians build continuous products. They build them in architectural layers, which they call chaos spaces.
The first chaos space is basically the foundational layer that holds all the linear, well-behaved, predictable Gaussian components of a system.
It's the classical math layer.
Right.
But in black noise, because of the extreme sensitivity we discussed earlier, combined with singularities happening everywhere all at once, that first chaos space is entirely trivial.
It is completely empty.
Yes. There is no foundational classical part left. The system is composed purely of unadulterated, non-classical noise.
It's incredibly difficult to wrap your head around something that fundamentally exists, but is essentially invisible to the classical layers of mathematics.
Schnirelmann provides a brilliant framing for this when discussing the paradoxical motion of an ideal incompressible fluid.
What does he say?
He states, very strong external forces are present, but they are infinitely fast oscillating in space, and therefore are indistinguishable from zero in the sense of distributions. The smooth test functions are not sensitive enough to feel these forces.
Let me unpack that, because it's a profound thought. Schnirelmann is saying that within fluid dynamics, you can have massive violent forces tearing through the fluid. But because these forces are oscillating infinitely fast, our standard mathematical tools literally cannot detect them.
The smooth test functions we use to measure reality.
Exactly. The violent oscillations average out to zero on our instruments. We look at the math and see nothing, even though these invisible forces are fundamentally driving the chaos of the fluid.
Black noise is essentially a ghost in the machine.
The classical tools just glide right over the chaos, registering perfect stillness where there is actually infinite turbulence.
Precisely.
So what does this all mean? We've talked about tokens on clock faces, infinite tape measures, and invisible slower forces. But how does this translate into the real world, or at least the bleeding edge of modern physics?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the answer lies in the foundation of quantum theory. The work Cyrilson is doing with stochastic flows belongs to the realm of commutative probability.
which deals with variables that can be measured simultaneously without affecting each other?
Right. But the mathematical structures he is uncovering act as a vital, direct bridge to non-commutative probability.
And non-commutative probability is the complex mathematics underlying quantum mechanics, where measuring one variable fundamentally alters another.
Yes. To model quantum states, mathematicians use something called a Hilbert space.
For anyone unfamiliar, a Hilbert space is an abstract mathematical concept that allows for infinite dimensions. While we live in a 3D world, quantum mechanics requires a space with infinite dimensions to accurately track all the potential states, waves, and entanglements of quantum particles.
Let's go back to that bizarre Zemflow toy model, the random walk on the clock face, where the final state is utterly independent of the sequence of steps.
How does that connect?
Mathematically, that non-classical sensitivity translates perfectly into modeling the factorizing states of an infinite chain of quantum bits, or quantum spins, situated within a Hilbert space.
The incredibly sensitive random token is actually giving us the mathematical framework to understand infinite chains of quantum data.
Exactly. And this brings us to a critical piece of the puzzle, Arvesen systems.
In quantum theory, you need continuous tensor products of these Hilbert spaces to model evolving systems.
The classical well-understood systems are called type I Arvesen systems. They're also known as Fock spaces,
which are comfortably used to model quantum states where you have a known observable number of particles.
Mathematicians lived very comfortably in type I Fock spaces for a long time. But in 1987, a mathematician named R. Powers shocked the field by proving the mathematical existence of entirely non-classical systems,
designated as type II and type III Arvesen systems.
These systems defied standard particle counting. They represented states so entangled and fluctuating that classical metrics simply collapsed.
But there is a massive difference between proving something exists theoretically on a chalkboard and actually building a probabilistic model that demonstrates it. Following Powers' discovery in 1987, the probabilistic theory sat in latency for over a decade.
The math existed, but the bridge to apply it didn't.
That decade of latency is what makes Cyrilson's work so monumental. It wasn't until 1998 that Cyrilson and his colleague Virchik finally published the very first non-classical continuous product of probability spaces.
They actually built the bridge that had been missing since 1987.
And that mysterious black noise we just explored. The invisible, infinitely fast oscillating forces that our smooth test functions can't feel.
Cyrilson and Virchik proved that black noise translates directly into those mysterious type III Arvesen systems in the non-commutative quantum world.
That journey is just incredible. We started with the illusion of stable random walks, discovering a universe defined by extreme sensitivity, where a tiny perturbation changes the outcome at infinity.
Then we moved into the spatial weirdness of the time asymmetric Poisson snake,
watching infinite markings born out of nowhere from a retracting boundary. And finally, we plunged into the quantum implications of black noise, discovering that the classical mathematics we thought governed the universe is often just a smooth blanket hiding an infinitely sensitive, highly chaotic quantum reality.
Randomness is far more diverse and far more deeply layered than human intuition is equipped to handle.
It really is.
This non-classical mathematical universe forces us to completely reevaluate the limits of human perception and the tools we use to define reality.
Absolutely.
This raises an important question, something for you to think about long after this deep dive ends. If our highest level mathematical models of the physical world, from the chaotic swirling of fluid dynamics to the foundational equations of quantum mechanics, contain invisible black noises that our standard mathematical test functions are simply too smooth to feel,
yeah.
What hidden, infinitely fast forces are fundamentally shaping our physical reality right now, slipping entirely undetected beneath the instruments we use to measure the universe?
You think you are standing on solid ground, but underneath, it might just be an invisible web of infinite, sensitive chaos. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us.